We're going to read God's Word as we find it in perhaps one of the most familiar portions of the Word of God. It's Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23, and we're going to read this short but familiar psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And we know that God always blesses the reading of his precious and inspired word. In order that we may all consider our latter end and be wise unto eternal salvation, I want to speak to you this evening about the valley of death. Now, sometimes we find people who would level the accusation against a preacher who preaches on such a subject as being far too morbid in his outlook. But rather, to the contrary, I believe we must face the realities of living. As somebody once said, the only certainty about life is its uncertainty. We don't know when it is going to end, when we shall get the notice to quit, and then we leave everything behind, and right out into eternity we go. And I want to speak tonight on the valley of death. In Psalm 23, death is described for us as a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Verse 4 of the psalm. And this shadow that is spoken of in this psalm lengthens, it deepens, and it darkens more and more each day we live, just like the evening shadows as the sun goes down and sets in the sky at eventide. And so the valley of the shadow, or the valley of death, it's a valley of the shadow. And first of all tonight, I want to look at this valley as the valley of the shadow. The dark shadow of death ever lies across our pathway. Make no mistake about it, even at the very commencement of our lives, death is on our track. Death is near. At the very commencement of life's journey, death is at the door. We are born, as it were, on the doorstep of death. We are not only born to live, but we are born to die. We are born to die, and many have gone straight from the cradle to the grave. And many birthdays have become death days. And so it is that death stares us in the face right from the very moment there's breath in our nostrils. And so it is being realistic. It is facing the issues to speak on such a subject, because we know not when the great shadow of death will overshadow us and we shall be engulfed into the darkness of death. It is impossible to get away from the shadow of death, for we grow up and live amongst dying men and dying women, even in our days of joy, and in our days of happiness, there the shadow of death very often subdues us. Very often comes across our path to bring pain and agony. And in our days of pleasure, death is also near at hand. We are continually reminded that the dark shadow of death, as we read the newspapers, listen to the news bulletins, now as we go out every day, perhaps sometimes we meet a funeral in the street or along the roadway. And in every city, every town, every village, every neighbourhood has got its graveyard or cemetery. A constant reminder to us that death is on our track. And a constant reminder to us of the shadow of death. And surely death is never too far from any one of us at any particular time. And at the end of life's journey, the shadow of death will deepen as we die. You have, perhaps some of you in this service tonight, you've had your sunrise, your morning in life, and it's past. Some of you have come to the midday of life, and as well, that is past. And perhaps others are at the sunset of life, the evening time. And very soon the shadows will begin to lengthen. And for you it may well be that the midnight of darkness is about to come. And when you approach to enter the valley of the shadow of death, the darker its shadows will come upon you. Perhaps for you the shadow of death has already deepened, and perhaps you don't know it. You know it not. Unaware of it. And it may well be that this night still finds you unprepared. Finds you unready. Finds you unconverted. Finds you unregenerate. And as such, a candidate for a lost and for a Christless hell. Oh, the shadow of death is coming. And very soon it will overtake us. Remember, there is but a step between you and death. For the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And to you who are not saved, it will be death's dark shadow forevermore, through a long eternity. For the dark shadow of physical death will give way to the black shadow of eternal damnation in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. And how tragic, and how sad for a soul to perish in the flames of God's wrath forevermore. Oh, the valley of death lies before you. And if you are without Christ and without hope, there is no hope for you. There is nothing but the blackness and the darkness of hell forever. Let us be warned tonight that this appointment, which is one that we will most certainly keep to the very moment men make appointments. Many appointments in the business world have been broken. Many appointments in personal friendships have been broken, perhaps through no fault of the parties concerned, because of unforeseen circumstances. But there's one appointment that we shall never break. There's one appointment we'll never postpone to a following week or a succeeding month. And that's the appointment with death. And how dreadful will the valley of the shadow of death be for you if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is faith and trust in Christ. And therefore he could say with great assurance, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And as the dark shadow of death gathers around, have you this assurance tonight? Have you received and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And do you know him as your shepherd and as your guide? I'm glad tonight that I can say from personal experience and assurance of God's word that there'll be There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of that city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Have you that assurance? Have you that acceptance tonight? Does this peace, as we meditate upon this subject tonight, does this peace and calm fill your soul, knowing that you're safe in the hand of Jesus? Not only is death the valley of the shadow, but it is also the valley of separation. Death is the great separator. It tears asunder the strongest links ever forged on earth. It breaks without any mercy the marriage bond, and it has no respect to the cries of children as it ushers their parents down the dark corridor into eternity. Yes, death is the great divider. Death strikes at homes and leaves the family unit in ruins. And death, at death's command, no one can say no. Husbands must leave their wives. Wives must leave their husbands. Children must leave their parents, and parents must leave their children. It is the great divider. It takes the soul from the body, and the spiritual from the physical. Yes, death separates. It may be that there are some here tonight, and perhaps you don't want to leave that little sinful habit that you find pleasure in. Let me say this, in love for your soul, one day death will separate you from it. Maybe there's someone that can't leave those friends which they find pleasure, but it's an unsaved company, it's an ungodly company. Let me say, one day death will take you from it, and it will be no more. I wonder, are you prepared to give up sin tonight? Give up your sins, said the hymn writer, and win the never-failing friend, one who'll be with you in life, and one who'll go down into the valley with you in death, and who'll bring you through triumphantly, right on the other side of the river of Jordan, where into Canaan's happy shore, into the bliss of heaven, we'll be received for eternity. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Thank God, in sorrow he's our comfort. In trouble he's our stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to your soul. There's no human bond too strong that death cannot break. There is no human union on this earth too close, or human relationship too sacred that death cannot smash it and break it. It will. There is only one bond. There is only one union. There is only one relationship that death cannot sever, that death cannot smash, that death cannot destroy. And that bond, that union, that relationship is found in Christ, and in Christ alone. And if you are united to Jesus Christ by faith, and have repented of sin, and turned and put your trust in the Savior, thank God there's nothing can separate you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 8. Here's what God says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My, what a bond, what a union, what a friendship that not even the devil can smash. And tonight, if you're resting in the finished work of Calvary, you're redeemed by the precious blood, your sins are gone forever. Praise God, you're united everlastingly, eternally, to the one who never fails, to the God of heaven, to the God of our great salvation, Jesus Christ. Praise God, He never fails. Are you in Christ tonight? Do you know Him? Has everlasting love bound you to heaven eternally? Bound you to the Son of God forevermore? My, tonight, if you're still unsaved and don't know Christ, there's a way to the cross tonight. There's a way for you to come. Simply by repentance, coming, realizing you're a sinner, needing God's salvation. You cannot save yourself. Coming and confessing that you've turned your back in rebellion upon His Son. And up to this moment in time, you have refused to accept His offer of salvation. But tonight you're coming and you're bending the knee at the cross and you're saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in and save me from my sin. I wonder, are you in Christ tonight? Have you entered through the new birth into everlasting life? Into that eternal relationship that nothing can sever? No, not even death itself. For the soul of the believer at death immediately passes into the presence of the Lord and into the glories of heaven. But the soul of the unbeliever shall perish forever in the lost eternity. The valley of the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. Is that your assurance? Is that your comfort? Is that your hope? But not only is the valley of death the valley of the shadow, the valley of separation, but it is a valley of strength. All are subject to its power. Oh yes, this valley is a valley of constraining and impelling force, and none can resist it. It's a valley of great strength. Oh, what power and strength the valley of death has got. With one stroke, it can take the healthy body and turn it into a corpse. It can quickly turn the house of rejoicing into the house of mourning. And many a time we have read in the newspapers and heard in the news where places of merriment have become places of bereavement. In a stroke, in a moment of time, as quick as a flash of lightning, my death can strike, and its strength brings you and I down into the valley. And there's no resistance without a struggle, and we must go. How can frail man of the dust battle against such a great enemy called death? How can we do it? Only Christ is a match for such a terrible foe. On the cross, Christ, the victor of Calvary, destroyed him who had the power of death, that is to say, the devil, and hath delivered them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Christ has victory over the grave. Christ has victory over death, and through Christ and Christ alone, you and I can be completely delivered from the devastating power of death. It's through Christ alone that we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It is only by being a partaker of eternal life, through faith in the blessed Son of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, that the sting and the terrors of death are removed. The glorious message of the gospel is this. Listen to it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a glorious message the gospel brings to guilty sinners like you and I. You will never be able to resist the power of death with its strong, constraining and impelling force. It has been said, the old must die and the young may die. Job said these words, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. When you enter the valley of death, will you be able to say with the psalmist, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me? And with the apostle Paul, can you say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Is that your assurance tonight? The valley of death is the valley of the shadow, the valley of separation, the valley of great strength and power. It is also the valley of sorrow. A valley of sorrow. The sorrow of those who die in Christ is the sorrow of just saying farewell to loved ones and their families. As they part to be with Christ, which is far better, their sorrow is not like unto those that have no hope and are without Christ. The story is told of the young Scottish martyr, Hugh McHale. Perhaps some of you may have read of Hugh McHale. When he came to be offered at the stake to give his life a martyr for Jesus Christ, he could be heard to say as he went to that stake, farewell, Father. Farewell, Mother. Farewell to friends and relatives. Farewell to the world with all its delights. And then, raising his voice with great delight, he said, and welcome, God the Father. Welcome, Jesus Christ the Son. Welcome, Christ the only Mediator. Welcome, blessed Spirit of grace. Welcome, glory. Welcome, heaven. Welcome, eternal life. My death for him was but the opening of a door into a new, to a fuller, into a better life with Christ. Is that going to be your experience? Oh, it's a valley of sorrow, but it's just the sorrow of temporarily saying farewell to loved ones. And if they are saved and born again and washed in the Savior's blood, there's coming a day when there'll be a reunion, when parting shall be no more. I wonder tonight, have you this blessed assurance? What a difference it makes when Christ is with you through the valley of death. You'll be able to say with the hymn writer, there'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes, but rather a joyful meeting when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. But what must the sorrow be for the soul who dies without Christ? His sorrow is but a prelude to the sorrows of everlasting woe, everlasting torment, everlasting agony in a lost and Christless hell. Oh, what an awful tragedy to say farewell to loved ones, to say farewell to friends, and to pass into the night of eternal darkness, to be lost forever, to endure the afflictions of God's wrath eternally. How tragic. And yet tonight we have got such a brilliant opportunity, such a tremendous privilege, grasping God's salvation with both hands, laying hold upon eternal life, casting ourselves completely upon the finished work of the cross of Christ. Why will you perish tonight, ye who are not saved? You who don't know the Master tonight, why will you continue in sin? Why will you go on and be caught in the great valley of the shadow, to go out into the midnight of eternal darkness and to be lost forever? Oh, come while the Saviour in mercy is pleading, and steer for yonder harbour bright. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting, across the deadline tonight? How do you know you'll ever hear the gospel again? How do you know you'll ever receive another invitation? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Even though your sin be like scarlet, it shall be as white as snow. Even though it be red like crimson, thank God, it shall be as wool. The blood of Christ is able to cleanse from all sin, and to set the prisoner free, to give eternal and abundant life to all who will trust. Indeed, that swift messenger of death may even be on his journey tonight to some. That death warrant may be in his hand, and already he may have commenced his journey or his flight, and very soon you will be brought down into that valley of death. O sinner, consider the fearful danger. A wide and bottomless pit in which burns the furnace of God's wrath, and any moment you could be there. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing you have ever done that could merit God's favor and God's salvation. You're a sinner, deserving of hell because of your sins. But thank God, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul could say, thank God he did, for I was the chief of sinners, and he saved me. And in closing, let me tell you the way of salvation. From the words of the hymn writer, when he penned these simple but beautiful lines, it tells me God the Son came down from glory's throne to die, that I might live and wear a crown and reign with him on high. It says he bore the cross for me and suffered in my place, that I from sin might ransomed be and praise him for his grace. Oh, wondrous love, so great, so vast, so boundless and so free. Lord, at thy feet myself I cast, my all I give to thee. Will you give him your life tonight? Will you give him yourself before that awful death warrant is executed? Come to Christ for salvation. Don't delay, it could be dangerous. Come to him today. Call upon the name of Christ and thank God you'll be saved. Come to him now. Make that decision this very night. And say, Lord, I am coming now to thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in thy blood that flowed on Calvary. And like the hymn writer, just say, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Praise God, he'll relieve you from all your sin, cleanse you from its very depths, make you whiter than the driven snow. Trust Jesus tonight. Be saved. And when that valley closes in upon you, you'll be ready. You'll be able to say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. And in closing, let me just repeat a story, or tell a story, about this 23rd Psalm. In a certain gathering, there were various people met together. And in this gathering, a number of people were asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. There was one young man sitting towards the front of that meeting, and he got up and he repeated every word perfectly. The pronunciation marks in the right place, and everything was so perfect. He repeated the psalm, complete and perfect. Everybody listened very carefully. After he sat down, there was an old gentleman at the back, on the back seat, and he got up, and with quivering voice and stammering tongue, he repeated the words of the 23rd Psalm, repeated them in such a way that there was feeling in his heart, feeling in his whole soul and body. Everybody was spellbound. Everybody listened with both ears. And after he sat down, the young man at the front of the service, he rose to his feet again. And he made a confession. And it was this. He says, "Sir, I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd. Tell me, it may well be that you know this psalm back to front and sideways, but do you know the shepherd of whom it speaks? Is Christ your shepherd?" He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Do you know him? Is he yours? You may be able to repeat the psalm and many other portions of the word, but if you're not saved and having Christ as your Savior, then you're none of his. Oh, trust Jesus tonight. Make him your Savior. Receive him as your shepherd. My, with his rod and his staff, he'll guide you in the pastures green and by the still waters. Yea, even through the valley of the shadow of death, and right into God's house forevermore, where there are pleasures at God's right hand. Praise him tonight. Rejoice in him. Accept him. Take him. He's offering it to you. Reach out with both hands and an open heart and say, "Lord, here am I. Receive me." May you receive Christ this evening, for his name's sake. Amen.